The healthcare detective, Frank Lally, has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare, called Your Best Healthcare Now. It is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade, the former editor of Money and George magazines, and a senior advisor to healthcare.com. And he is, as ever, on the case. Hi, Frank. What are you doing out there?
Well, here's what I'm doing out here. Because I want to start off by making a promise. So I'm working on the Governor Cuomo scandal that's under reporting, these nursing home deaths, COVID deaths in New York State. And Cuomo's facing now criminal investigations, that's plural, for hiding what looks like 50% of the nursing home COVID deaths in his state. That's a really big story. It's evolving fast. But it's not the only nursing home undercounting scandal in this area. Sources are telling me that undercounting nursing home COVID deaths by 25% or more is rampant. It's in Connecticut, it's in surrounding states. It's hard to pin it down at this point. A lot of people don't want to talk about it, but I will get it nailed. And next week, I'll describe the undercounts in detail. I'll spell out what needs to be done to get the real counts so people actually know what happened to their loved ones. And importantly, more importantly, what needs to be done to reduce the number of nursing home infection deaths. COVID-19 is not the last infection that's going to run through our nursing homes and our communities. And if we ignore it, we're inviting more of this. Look what's going on down in Texas now. You ignore climate change, well, guess what? 10 years later, it bites you. And we face a similar situation with this nursing home undercounts. We'll get to the bottom of the story. Stay tuned. Okay. Today, I want to clear up some of the widespread misconceptions about COVID-19 vaccines. So first, on Monday, some nice news. Carol and I joined the lucky 10% in Connecticut who over 18 who've now gotten their second vaccines. We're very thankful to the staff at the Pratt & Whitney Megasite where we got our shots. They're terrific. And for Pfizer itself, for the vaccine that we got. The shots have given us some peace of mind and a measure of freedom. Remember freedom? In 2 weeks after these shots boost our immune system fully, we're planning to socialize again with other people who've gotten their second shots. We're going to be careful. It's just going to be people with two shots as well as us. And we're also going to invite people over to the house. Remember when you could do that without fear? And we may go out to restaurants with the right precautions at limited capacity. So that's peace of mind. That's freedom. Thank goodness it's finally getting here to people with the shots. But look, like a vast majority of people, neither Carol nor I had any adverse reactions. I know there's a lot of worry about adverse reactions. The big worry is anaphylactic shock. That's an allergic reaction where your throat actually closes, very serious, end up in the hospital, ER. But if you've never had to use an EpiPen in your life, you're 99.9% safe. Okay, here's the facts. In the clinical trials, only 20 severe cases were reported of anaphylactic shock out of 2 million trial shots. Now, apparently it's slightly higher for Moderna, but I'm talking about just a tick. Still, the vaccine staff is going to be very careful. They're going to ask you if you've ever used an EpiPen. They're going to ask you about your allergies. If you have, they're going to put you in a separate area. They're going to monitor you closely, certainly for 30 minutes after you've gotten the shot, because that's when the allergic reaction can begin. You'll be in good hands. The other worry is getting flu-like symptoms. A lot of people talking about this within 48 hours after getting a shot, either the first or the second. You can get a headache, you can get fatigue, chills, even fever. And since Moderna is slightly less effective against allergic reaction, people think that Moderna causes more flu-like symptoms. I've had a couple of nurses tell me that. It's not true. Here are the facts. With Pfizer, 7% of those 18 to 55 get a fever after the first shot. 31% get some fever after the second shot. With Moderna, those numbers are only 1% and 17%. Now, you can't pick and choose your vaccine, but the fact is, if you get Moderna, you actually probably have a good chance that you will not get the symptoms that we've talked about. There's also confusion about what those flu-like symptoms signify. So, who needs a day or two of flu? I'm not anxious. I got to walk my magnificent dog, Mishka. I don't want the flu for 2 days. But the symptoms are a sign that the vaccine is actually revving up your immune system. It's a good sign. Your immune system is getting in shape to protect you from COVID-19 if it ever hits you. Younger people with more robust immune systems, this makes all the sense in the world, are more likely to get the symptoms because their immune systems will rev up quickly and cause the reactions. But experts say seniors who don't have a reaction, that's us, right? Not to worry. Seniors like Carol and I who don't get the reactions are fine. Here are the numbers. With Pfizer, 4 out of 5 people over 55 do not get a fever. 4 out of 5. Still, with either Pfizer or Moderna, you're 95% effective against COVID-19 after 2 shots. Pfizer seems to be 90% effective after just 1 shot. And that includes against the fast-spreading UK variant people are worried about. Slightly less against the South African variant, but still effective. So the variant that concerns me is the still rare one out of Brazil. Now, I said last week that we're all going to need a third shot in the fall to keep us protected. And guess what? This week, no less than Bill Gates said that on national TV. So I'm in good company. Okay, so Jill, I hope this has cleared up some of the confusion about the vaccines. But do you have any questions, any concerns, anything you're hearing from your friends and listeners?
No, I just wonder, though, about, you know, it's like it's wonderful that we've got these stats that are being released by I'm not sure who, but you know so 4 out of 5 are okay, but the one you know and how many vaccines and how good are the numbers, you know, so I think that people are going to, for example, you will never be able to convince a senior that I know that if you don't have a reaction, it's okay. So, you know, it's like these are good bits of information generally, but right. People still have their own notions about it. That's all.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fact that we're going to be struggling to get 70% of the population, even in this state, vaccinated. We've got more than 70% now. In people over 75, so that's progress. But there's a hardcore 25 to 30% of people who just don't want to take the vaccine.
Did you, by the way, see the Wall Street Journal piece today, the 19th, that COVID cases have in fact dropped 77% in 6 weeks?
Yeah, there's real progress being made.
And that's not just that's by the way, that's not necessarily vaccine. What has happened is there has been a massive improvement. This is, I don't know if this is in the article, but this is just, there's been a massive improvement in the actual tests now, because as you know, jokey though
it was,
tests,
I think
apple
masking,
juice, Red Bull, they were all testing positive for COVID. We all remember that.
Yeah, it's a lot of things, and it's good news. Let me answer specifically. You said, where do these numbers come from? They come largely from the clinical trials, and now they're continuing to monitor it. So that's why they can say, hey, you know, guess what? We're discovering that with the Pfizer vaccine, it's 90% effective after just 1 shot. And now they're looking at the Johnson & Johnson, which hasn't come on the market yet, and thinking, you know what? If we have 2 Johnson & Johnson shots, we can get up to 95% with that vaccine as well. So, look, good things are happening, but there will be a hardcore of people who don't want this vaccine, no matter what we say or anybody else says. That is a worry, because if we don't get to the 70, 75% vaccination rate throughout the country, we may not get to what I call community immunity, not herd immunity. I don't like that phrase. It's community immunity.
Well, what about cell immunity that people have?
I'm sorry?
What about other immunities that aren't being sampled? For example, here, and we've only got a few minutes left, so this mm-hmm. is a different and possibly more philosophical debate, but in places where it's not raging and people aren't vaccinated 100% and have herd immunity, you know, there is something to be said for the fact that A, cases are dropping, and B, for whatever reason, people aren't falling over with COVID every day.
Look, it's all true, but here's, and we've seen this pattern, okay? You get whole areas, and in fact, whole states, where, boy, gee, no cases whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, there's a tremendous flare-up from something that sparks. So, and we want to ignore that as we want to avoid that as much as possible. So the old rules apply, and this is an ongoing story. We're making progress. All right. So we've only got a little time left. Let me give you a little word of warning. If you're in line to get a shot, there are a lot of more people in line now, essential workers, teachers coming on board in mid-March. Guess what? The lines are getting longer. So here's my advice. We had our first shot at Pratt & Whitney, and they were terrific. We were in and out in 45 minutes, okay? And I made fun of the guys at Dodger Stadium who had to wait 3 hours. Well, guess what? We went back for our second shot 3 weeks later on Monday, and we were in line for 3 hours. Okay, so why? They're doing 2,500 people a day now. Lines get longer. All right. If you get an appointment and then show up 30 minutes before the appointed time, but don't get there any earlier. You show up any earlier, you're going to be put into a holding area until it's your time. Don't go without an appointment. There's a lane. No appointment. Exit left. Away you go. You will not get a shot. Get an appointment and then get there just a little bit earlier. It'll cut down your waiting time. One more thing I want to say here, Jill, a little piece of good news. I've talked about this in the past. I wrote a single topic magazine for Women's World. It's called Save on Healthcare. Well, guess what? Finally, it's on sale now on newsstands, supermarkets, and elsewhere on Amazon. So for $12.99, you get 251 ways to get A-plus care, and you can save hundreds of dollars. I guarantee you, you spend $12.99, you'll save hundreds of dollars, because the magazine is actually a 2021 update of my book, Your Best Healthcare Now. The book is still a very good resource, but I wrote it 4 years ago. Things have changed. There's a lot of information about how to avoid balanced bills. It's just one little snippet. Under the law now, if you say to your pharmacist, hey, can I save money on this prescription I'm about to fill? He must tell you there's a cheaper version available. It's just as effective and less money, like a generic at 80% less, maybe even over the counter product. There were laws 4 years ago, gag laws, preventing the pharmacist from helping you. Those laws are gone. Your pharmacist has to help you. Millions, not millions, but a number of very good ideas and tips in this book from Women's World. It's called Save on Healthcare. Pick it up. It'll save you some money, and you'll get better care.
Which is the goal. Thank you, Frank. The Healthcare Detective, Senior Advisor to Healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to HealthcareDetective@RobinHoodRadio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, which he will be updating, available online, in store, and on my desk.